listen to that Shapeless Mass podcast at podcast.shapelessmass.com, bitches.
You ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
There's some scratchy noises by yours truly.
Yeah.
Bringing us
not as good as last time, though, I don't think.
For real.
Right. Yeah. Sorry.
You toned it down a little because I was coming.
Yeah, that's right. This is Shapeless Mass Cast.
Number four.
Podcast number four.
Numero cuatro.
Number four, homie.
Numero four, bitches.
This one's a little more ghetto because we got...
It's not like that. You know it's not like that.
I just play it because we got my man Dave here. What's up?
I'm chilling, doing my thing.
And you know me, I'm EBA, and my compadre.
Sir Mildred Peters?
Yes,
yep,
that's right.
That's me.
And before we get to any of the things, I got this thing I want to spring on y'all real quick.
Oh, Lord.
This you want to wet on us?
This is a special feature we're only going to have when Mr. 420 Dave is here. And it is Dave Retorts to Last Week's Podcast.
Yeah.
So you had some things to say.
I had some problems. I had some problems with your Robin Williams bashing. I had some problem with your John Leguizamo bashing.
I didn't bash either of them.
Oh, that's really
I supported
cool,
them. I like them both.
I did like the Keanu Reeves bashing. I support that fully.
So you disagree with my contention that every John Leguizamo movie, you know, every movie he's in, he's basically playing John Leguizamo.
Possibly because that's the only movies you've seen. You've
I've
probably
seen a lot
seen
of
just
movies
Ice
with him
Age.
In it. No,
and he wasn't even
no,
in it. That was
no.
his voice. I'm telling you,
no,
if you go
no,
back and see Moulin
Spawn,
Rouge, Moulin Rouge was
Land
real good.
Dead.
I don't know if
see,
I could.
I haven't seen Moulin Rouge, but then I haven't also haven't had a frontal lobotomy. So.
Yeah, I knew he was going to say something like that.
I know.
I don't think he's. I don't think he'd watch Moulin Rouge.
No, I don't think
he's open minded enough
me,
for
it took me a while to even.
I'm not very.
Hey. Anyways, yeah, that's all I had a problem with was just that and. Robin Williams, man, he does a lot of good movies, man. I don't know about the RV thing. I think you guys were
that.
On point on that. I don't know.
Nah, man.
I give it. How many stars did I give it? Like seven or six?
It's good.
Seven.
And then
-57.
-57. That's right.
Too many stars.
Void's the man when it came to those reviews. Let me tell you.
Scary.
You know, at like Chinese restaurants, a lot of the Chinese restaurants, you get like the placemats, and it's got the Chinese.
That's right.
The Zodiac.
Yeah, yep,
right.
The Zodiac.
Well, Taco Bell has updated that.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
and
no.
I've got the Taco Bell mat here.
Okay.
And instead of the...
I can't wait.
Instead of the Chinese Zodiac, they have the Taco Zodiac.
Lord.
So,
yes.
from what your favorite Taco Bell menu item is, you can, you know, you can gauge an entire person's personality from
really?
For real. So,
so what is
what if my favorite menu item is a cup of water?
Yeah,
you're in trouble.
You're pretty,
I don't exist.
You're pretty wet.
Hey, I got I love the 7-layer burrito.
So I don't think that might not be on here.
See, we're totally just fucking you up right now.
We're screwing it up already.
You know who buys 7 layers? You know?
Me. I do. It's
they,
on the value
well,
menu.
They have a catch-all burrito. They, it doesn't
know.
Say what kind of burrito it is, so I'll,
right.
We'll say that's yours.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
What's
that?
The Noble Burrito.
Oh, dude, I know. I like that creative crunch wrap.
Oh,
yeah.
You like the crunch wrap?
I do like
that's
the crunch
one
wrap.
That's why I like too.
It's good.
You
like
the crunch wrap?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Sure. The crunch wrap is a sign of imagination and originality.
No doubt.
Always on the move, the crunch wrap is a free thinker and embraces change.
I try.
Late night, the Crunchwrap always looks for something new and exciting.
That
like,
could be anybody.
There's a Crunchwrap like sneaking out of the Taco Bell at night.
This is infallible.
Okay, see, that could be anybody at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay,
this is printed by
the Pope
himself.
El Presidente.
Dude, that could be.
What's your favorite menu item?
Chalupa.
It's yes, that's on here. The Extraordinary Chalupa.
Ah.
A sign that is daring and unique. With its crispy, chewy shell, the chalupa is a risk-taker who has a penchant for breaking the mold. Late night, the chalupa loves to be the center of attention and is usually the first to start the conga line.
Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that the exact same description as the other one there?
No, he was creative. You're not.
That word penchant was not in it, and it's not Spanish.
It's in type. Well, I usually do the Crunchwrap, but since you already did that, my backup item. So the Formidable Taco, a sign of strength and dominance, obviously me. The crunchy shell symbolizes a tough outer layer, protecting a delicate inner core. Late night, the crunchy taco is generally the leader of the pack, making the plans and calling the shots.
That's the exact same damn description.
They're all going to be positive.
They can't all be leaders
at night.
It's
not like you can read... you're not going to read one and say, oh, you like the soft taco. You're a wimp. You're just a softy. Soft tacos.
And people will beat you down and cover you with salsa.
100% accurate. And
right. As I said, printed by El Papa. But anyway... Let's go ahead and make sure everyone knows, if you're not checking it out there already, you can go to podcast.shapelessmass.com. Again, that's podcast.shapelessmass.com.
And this one, if you want to go straight to this podcast, /masscast0044.
We got this really cheesy email thing.
Oh, that thing.
Go check it out.
Okay.
Bye.
Hi, kids. Please remember to send all emails to Sir Mildred Pierce at gmail.com and EBAOFVN at gmail.com. Thanks.
So, okay, and now you know where to email us.
I got a website address.
It has a website.
It's called workable.com.
Uh-huh. How do you spell that?
It's WERKABLE.com.
Because you got one of those drug edges.
So if you don't know how to spell, chances are you'll find it anyway. Because he doesn't know how to spell either.
Dave's got one of those Georgia education.
And my website's popamericana.com and bananaunion.com.
So anyway, you had a song you want to
play? Well, it's kind of a shout out to my friend Jessica because it's her birthday. So we're going to play a birthday song for her.
Okay. So. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Happy
birthday to you. You.
Happy birthday
to you. You.
Happy birthday,
dear Jessica. Happy birthday to you. You.
There you go. That's a song for Jessica. So,
nice.
isn't it? Extra sugar, extra salt, extra oil and MSG. Extra sugar, extra salt.
Love is
very sweet.
Mildred reviews the world.
What'd you think the about King one? Kong? The new King Kong.
I saw it on the big screen, actually.
Yeah. That is a good way to watch it.
Yeah, for sure.
And what'd
sure.
you think?
It's pretty good.
I love that movie.
That was the most recent movie I could think of where I was actually like breathtaking.
Yeah. No doubt. That's how I felt about it.
I think I'll give it four thumbs up and
yeah.
maybe one thumbs down for
being kind of long.
I'm gonna tell you the one thumbs down on me after
okay.
you do yours.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think he should have found like an unknown actress to play the unknown actress.
My thumbs down for
that. I'm just making that up. That's
was the last sentence Jack Black said.
Uh huh.
Beauty killed the beast. Fuck that.
Wasn't that from the original movie or something?
Though? I guess so, but that just ruined. Yeah,
I think originally he wanted the original actress.
Yeah.
To play, that played.
In the beginning?
Yeah, in the original.
In the original, you mean?
To say that line.
Say
she died or something.
You know, I hate it when actors do that.
I know.
Like, hey, did you see my movie? Oh, you're fucking dead. Damn it.
Okay.
Why can't you be not dead, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, let's make a movie about that.
So yeah, the next one is a song or a band or an album or something.
Okay, related. Well, how about Gnarls Barkley?
I never heard of it.
You never heard of Gnarls Barkley? I forgot who I'm sitting with here. What is going on? Come on now. You guys are music enthusiasts.
Is he related to Charles?
I know Gnarls Barkley.
Okay.
I got some of their songs.
He's a basketball player. Right?
No, man.
Chicago Bulls.
It's DJ Danger Mouse and
is that his real
CeeLo,
name?
CeeLo Green from Goody Mob.
Okay.
They got together and decided to do an off-the-wall album.
Yeah, I'd like to hear
and
that.
And it blew up real quick.
I give it two thumbs up.
Okay.
Oh. Okay, anyway, the next one's a book.
A book?
Yeah. I mean, have you ever read a book?
Yes, I have. What kind of question is that?
Dude, I'd punch it.
I would.
So if you can't think of one.
Tom Robbins, Another Roadside Attraction.
Yeah, good book. That was the first book he wrote.
Yes.
And I always got the impression that he kind of had to get a lot of things off his chest. So some of the, there's like these monologues that are 10 pages long
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the book that, you know, you can skip that if you...
I would say he was heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like I said, he had a lot of things to get off his chest, and
yeah.
he's definitely an opinionated person, and I like the premise is very good. I like the whole premise is very
thought-provoking. I wish he would have spent more time on it.
I spent more time reading.
Like, 75% of that book is backstory before it gets to the actual plot mm-hmm. of the story, which is what it's advertised. That was what intrigued me in the first place. I was like, okay, yeah, eventually they're going to get
well,
to it.
Well, his strong points are, like, character and, like, you know, flowery language.
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of like he combines those two to create a good book. And then sometimes the plot, not really that important. Not that he doesn't come up with good plots, but, you know. My favorite book of his is Jitterbug Perfume, though. That's probably the most plot-heavy book. So.
Okay.
I have no time to read.
Another Roadside Attraction, I'll give you three thumbs
just three.
Up. But I'll probably give it one thumbs down for kind of
preachy? Almost.
No, I don't really mind the preachiness. I actually kind of enjoy it sometimes. He hadn't polished his ability as a writer quite to the level of some of his
books. I haven't polished my abilities as a reader, obviously.
That's the only book of his I've read, too.
You should read some of them more.
I should just read.
The next category is a video game. Now, yeah, I know you played some video games.
Yeah, I like Halo 1 and 2.
You want me to do Halo?
There you go.
You can do Halo.
Okay.
This motherfucker will watch your screen.
I don't want...
Uh-huh.
He knows exactly
where you are
at all times... And it's not because of his...
How can you not see where somebody else is? I mean...
The screen's split in half.
I know.
It's
right in front of your eyes. First-person shooters?
Yeah.
I usually don't like them on the console, but
no.
Halo I found to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Given the fact that the Xbox controller is clearly designed for people with huge hands,
for that.
Like mutant-like.
Yeah, but the best thing
like
about the Xbox controller
hands.
Is the trigger.
I think it was probably the first game I played on the Xbox,
it's
too.
I think it's the only game I've played
that
on
is,
Xbox.
That is me. That's me, too. I haven't played any other game.
I have thought about buying an Xbox specifically for Halo.
For Halo,
so
right.
That says something about it.
Yeah. I forgot what the hell they called.
Those Warthogs were downright, I mean... It'd be easier to pilot your car with your ass cheeks while blindfolded down a bumpy road on
That's
a moonless night.
You need a partner.
So, anyway, I'll give it
okay.
three thumbs up, maybe.
Cool.
I'll give it one thumbs down for the fact that I don't have an Xbox.
Okay.
Are you actually playing Footsie?
I'm sure.
Cracking my knee.
I'm sure.
He just ran his foot up my leg. It was, stop!
My next category is a food.
My name is Dave.
What you think about lasagna, man? That's a food. That's a couple layered food.
Yeah, five.
That's all. It's almost lasagna is almost like construction material.
That's been like one of my lifelong favorites.
It took the blueprint to actually make it.
I think that is probably my favorite food.
I don't think I never heard of lasagna until I started reading Garfield in the first grade.
Yeah.
And so I made my mom buy some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love.
Because I love Garfield when I was a kid, but now I kind of read them in.
Yeah, me too.
You know how crazy it is that your mom's lasagna tastes a lot different than everybody else's lasagna?
Oh, yeah.
You go to somebody's house.
I will give it one thumbs down for making me fat.
Yeah?
It ain't diet food.
I don't eat it that often, man. It is good.
Back on Garfield, though, and how much it sucks. Did you ever see that big, long page about Garfield where they take out all the dialogue from Garfield and they just leaves in the dialogue from Jim?
No.
It's one of the funniest comics I've ever read.
Really?
I mean, it takes it to a whole new level, and I wish it was just like that. Because it's mostly just him walking around yelling.
Wow. That's a good idea.
It's brilliant.
I want to see that.
We'll link it up on the website.
I got to see that. That
you
want
to see it
awesome.
Now?
Sounds good.
No. Okay. I want to check it out, because if I get, I'll get absorbed.
So the next one, the next category is a place.
Let's talk about Atlanta.
I think it's a really, really pretty town. I actually got into an argument.
Are we talking about the same Atlanta?
As far as, like, the skyline.
Right.
I think it's got one of the more unique skylines America and probably in the whole world.
It does. It's massive.
Well, it's a lot more spread out than a lot of skylines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the buildings look a lot more unique than some of the more generic buildings that you see in all
right.
the skylines.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you go off the off-ramp where the Fly Delta sign's at and go right around that corner and look up to your left.
I was telling them. I mean, where else can you drive down an interstate highway and see all this stuff in the middle there? You got the Georgia Capitol building.
You got the Varsity.
And it's, you know, covered in gold.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's a beautiful city and it'll eat me up.
Everything's kind of rimmed by trees. There's a lot of trees in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places aren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Georgia's really kind of taking care of themselves as far as the trees go. Atlanta, I think I'll give it a 4 thumbs up.
Okay, cool.
It's a good city. It's a good city. I think it's underappreciated.
I think
it's the capital of the South.
Go ahead. Give the thumbs down.
It's too hot.
It's hot as hell. That
really?
Was what I was about to
you
say.
You of all people saying that.
It's just too hot.
Too hot, baby.
It is.
It's a good name, too, Atlanta. It's a nice, unique name.
So is A-Town.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
He's be covered with water.
Like Atlantis.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty cool about the Olympics. We got the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, next in 1996, I think. Coming up here.
Oh, cool. Good.
Okay.
I'll be there for that.
I can't believe it's been 10 years.
I can't believe I'm 10 years old.
I hope they have all the homeless people killed just in time for that.
They moved them, that's for sure.
The next category,
a concept? Okay. Yeah. Concept this, you know how we are so dependent on oil.
Right.
Why don't we use corn? I'm serious.
Stick ears of corn into
corn,
your gas
no.
tank?
No, like, use corn.
I would probably have to research it a little bit more, but I would be worried.
Why?
That it, that making... That is like corn ethanol, isn't it?
Ethanol
that they make.
Isn't it even more flammable than gas?
Too? I think it's more flammable, but I wonder if it actually takes more energy.
I think it's more economical.
I don't know. Like people that drive like diesel cars,
uh-huh.
they can like take like old frying oil and put it in there.
And I when saw they, the MTV commercial.
When they
you
run
damn,
the
right?
car, it smells like French fries and stuff.
Like popcorn.
Yeah, so I wonder if corn ethanol smells like corn. If it does, I'll give it two extra thumbs up.
You,
I like
you know what would be
car.
Interesting is that we could pretty much keep all the news headlines the same. It would just be tension in the Midwest. You know, like, Midwest talks negotiated. Bush sends Prime Minister to Iowa to discuss, you know.
Farmers are in uproar.
Yeah, I'll give it two thumbs up. I mean, it's a good idea. I just need to research a little bit more. But
I wish you would and invite me back. Sometime.
I think, although about the oil thing, I think we should strive to use as much as possible.
To run out faster?
Exactly. Because if we run out, then we'll have to switch some. Yeah. You know, up until that point, we'll just be like, yeah, we'll switch. Yeah, we'll find an alternate fuel source.
Yeah.
Maybe next year, though.
I think we should definitely, like, run our cars on the blood of innocent orphans.
I don't know if that would be economically viable.
It would be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
For you.
What was the next category?
An event.
An event, that's right.
An event.
History or, like, review your day of birth.
Day of birth, five thumbs up, yeah. No thumbs down.
I can think of a few.
Yeah.
Like, for one thing, you were born.
There's one.
That's not
That's nice. Going against you.
What do you think your mom was doing that day?
Screaming.
Should I ask her? Should I call her up and ask
probably
her?
Probably screaming.
Let's call her up.
I should anyway.
These tweezers smell like a fucking bong, man. You can light these bitches up right now and get fucked up.
I think I tried that.
Oh. Damn.
Anyway, second to last category. I know it's your favorite category, I'm sure.
Yeah.
A British royal.
Good luck.
Dang my damn spirit. Hell no.
You can't
That's
name,
always when
you
I
can't name one.
One British royal?
Yeah.
Madonna don't count, does she?
I'm kinda struggling to comprehend how you could like
Does Prince Albert count?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the
He was royal. He was the husband of Queen Victoria. I wonder if he was ever kind of jealous of, you know...
The 10-pound ball joke?
I'm not sure what that is.
Hey, bowling alley, you got 10-pound balls? Yeah. How'd you get to the phone so fast? See, because the
prince... What is that? Prince Albert?
Because he's in a can.
So why is he in a can? That's another new
prince
one.
Prince Albert, you're kidding me, right? I can't believe you don't know this. Prince Albert is I believe, a form of chewing tobacco or snuff or something like that.
Okay.
And so the joke is you call the tobacconist. Yeah, Prince Albert. You've never heard this. This is right up there with your refrigerator running. Please tell me you've heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have Prince Albert in a can? Yes. Well, you better let him out. Do you have 10-pound
balls?
That's
funny.
Yes, then how'd you get to the phone? So
yeah.
I say that Dave looks at his crotch.
Making sure everything's still there.
10 pounds, man? How would you get to the phone that fast?
So supposedly, Prince Albert did have the piercing in his penis, and that's where the name came from.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he wore.
How the hell would you establish that?
That's what they call it when you get your.
I know it.
Like, how would anybody know that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just probably the guy that pierced him.
Took,
or maybe it just wasn't a big deal and he told everybody, you know.
He probably drew it.
Well, if he was just making that up.
Because he wore really tight pants.
And they could see.
So he wanted to hold it up. So that's why he got it pierced like that, was so that he could attach it to like his belt loop or something.
Oh, I'm trying to think of like forgetting, you know.
And that's your British royal.
Oh, can you imagine like, you know, like getting in a hurry, like running home and like ripping your belt off and wham, oh, you know.
He probably had a servant just to
just
remind
for
him,
that.
Hey, Your Highness, don't forget about you know what. He's like, oh yes, thank you for reminding me. Jeeves.
I'll give him
two thumbs up. He ain't nothing.
Any thumbs down?
Nah. I can't think of anything.
For being in a can?
Down the shaft.
Down the shaft.
Maybe for getting that piercing, because, you know...
That's got itch.
That's vanity to a whole other level.
That hurts, man.
Yeah, especially when you walk by that large super magnet, you know?
Ding!
Do they have magnets back then?
Ding!
Magnets occur in nature.
So you have a super magnet.
They have electronic magnets.
Magnets.
What kind they were using to crush the cars with? that they had back in,
they pull them out of their ancient hard drives.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, the last category is a wild card.
Review, Dave.
Well, he's supposed to choose, you know.
Well, technically, that's in the ballpark, because it is him.
He doesn't want me to review.
What?
Let's show those thumbs down. Come on. I'm just playing.
It's probably the music. What do you think about my music?
I like your music. Yeah? You want me to review your music?
Yeah, review my music.
I like the.
I think that might be.
I like the Glacier song. We'll go ahead and play that.
That's a good segue to that.
Yeah, that's a good segue. I'll give you music 3 thumbs up.
Out of what, 5?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Dang, I can take
that's
that.
Cool, man.
No, it's not. That's good. It's like
I can't think of a thumbs down, but.
Okay. Well, I like the three. Three.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's play the song.
Okay, well, this is Glacier Prophet by Dunderworks, Dave 420.
That's produced by Sindustry, and then he sold the beat to MTV, so I had no chance of recording it.
Did he really sell that?
Use it to for the drive on MTV.
You're kidding me!
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, I did not know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they probably paid some good money for it.
Okay, well, this is Dunderworks ripping off the drive music from MTV with his song Glacier Prophet.
It's better to have loved than not at all. And it's better to be above than about to fall. Because these nights, we closer to pre-flight. And if we fight, we can't go wrong, better be right. I don't expect you to move to every groove. I don't expect you to lose the attitude. But it's best that you show proof to pass dues. Cause those that get used and abused. And those that refuse will choose to lose. And if it's all in my head, put yourself in my shoes. My home plate is the base of the attack. I got the weight of the world on my back. I got dope fiends, they addicted to crack. I got junkies with the brand new tracks in the system that don't know the straight facts. I got power moves but can't determine where they at. And if the mob rules and the skies turn black, who's concerned if the planet's still turning? And money earned ain't for the lessons to be learning. It's cold that freezes the night and keeps burning.
So round and round it goes, and where it stops no one knows. So underground we go, 60 degrees or so. So round and round it goes, and where it stops no one knows. So underground we go, 360 degrees or so.
These seasons changing for no reason, so cold and strange and I'm freezing. Put a joke hold on the mic, the chief grip so tight. Somebody give me light or body heater, do me right. I'm feeling it now, I see my face up in the crowd. The Glacier Prophet trying his best to hold me down. I pass the Philly round till there's nothing left. The G13 resin in my chest.
So round and round it goes, and where it stops no one knows. So underground we go, 360 degrees or so.
No less than the applause. It's cold outside, I think we're heading just like Mars. The planet that was destined to be determined, and that is the lesson we'll all be learning. The answer to the question is now concerning, or whether or not this planet still rocks. Like Africa Bambaataa, did we not give you everything we got? And the only guardian is the sun when it's hot.
So round and round it goes, and where it stops no one knows. So underground we go, 360 degrees. So round and round it goes, and where it stops no one knows. So underground we go, 360 degrees or so.
So yeah, that was Glacier Prophet.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you said that track brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah, it brings back a little bit of memories, man. It's one of them tracks. Well, it all came down from the whole September 11th thing. I wanted to say something about it, but I didn't want to do it the same way as everybody else at the same time frame, you know, because it's just too much of a cliche, you know.
It's not a very transparent song as far as that goes, I think.
No doubt. I wrote it into, like, so you couldn't really tell unless I told you.
Yeah, I never knew. I mean, I first heard that song when I was in Alaska.
Yeah.
And that song...
Because it had the word Glacier in it?
Well, and the whole 360 degrees of snow stuff. Mm-hmm. And even the music itself just kind of has a very laid-back kind of
Alaskan vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always imagined, like, if you had filmed a video in Alaska, it would have worked perfectly for it.
It would have, yeah.
In the snow and maybe on a glacier. And,
no doubt.
And
plus profit.
At the time, you know, I was listening to a lot of hip-hop because my roommate Josh was really into hip-hop. And he's more into the more, like, mainstream hip-hop as opposed to, like, what EVA listens to. He likes the whole, the real...
The true school stuff.
The real dirty kind of hip-hop, you know.
You're talking about your roommate.
Yeah, Josh.
Not me.
The dirtier it is, he likes it, so...
Okay.
The more, you know, the more appropriate sounds in a car.
Okay.
That reminds me real quick.
The more thuggish.
You're saying it was about September 11th. Like, I mean, you had a unique perspective on, like, what that perspective was.
Yeah, well,
I heard you say it was about September 11th, so I read it as more political.
One of the reasons why the whole 360 degrees of snow, I took it from when I was watching the news. One of the reporters was saying, if you look behind me, whatever, you can see it's fully covered in snow. Everyone's covered in what looks to be snow, but it's all dust, and it's all made out of, you know, you can't inhale this stuff because you're getting sick. And, you know, you don't know where it's been. It's got a whole bunch of chemicals in it. But there's people buried in the rubble, and they were still... And, you know, this went on for a couple of days where everyone was down there. Yeah. And I remember they were focusing on these few people that were down there. They couldn't reach them, but they could hear them. Mm-hmm. And they were just wondering... It was hot in there because all the metal was all on them. But they were cold, but still everything around them was hot. You know what I'm saying? But they couldn't get out. So I took it and wrote it in the perspective of someone stuck in that situation and turned it into, you know, my rendition of September 11th and how I would never want to be in that situation, hoping somebody can get me. And, you know, at the last minute, finally being able to break free of all that. And so it's the same way with hip-hop.
Why is it called the Glacier Prophet?
Someone is there to help you. There's got to be someone there to help you. And everyone that's stuck down there or whatever... had some kind of thought that somebody's going to help them, whether it was a fireman, whether it was just somebody on the street trying to get all that debris off or whatever, or if it was their spiritual belief, you know. They all had somebody they looked up to, and whether that came or not is all on your perception.
That's cool.
And that's it, really.
That's really profound. Now, with all that deep shit, I guess it's a good time to lead into a complete juxtaposition with our guest spot.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking we're doing
this is Sir Mildred Pierce's favorite segment, so let's check it out. Here's the guest spot. Enjoy.
The guest spot.
What is your fucking car called?
The yellow one up there?
The yellow one.
It's a Toyota Corolla.
A Toyota Corolla. What year?
80.
An 80 Toyota Corolla. The most surreal thing I ever saw, aside from the fact that I have a picture of him that I put like an embossed finish on, he looks exactly like Benjamin Franklin. So Mildred Pierce looks like Benjamin Franklin when he is embossed. I'm sitting in, he was coming to my house, and we were playing a game, and this son of a bitch comes flying through the backyard. There's like a full donut in a 1980 Toyota Corolla, and I was just like, why is that car not exploded in a fiery ball of hell? And he's just smiling at us. What's up, guys? We're like, dude, this isn't Dukes of Hazzard, obviously. favorite EVA story. Favorite EVA. When we fucking, like, violated Jerry that night, he fell asleep early. And every night after that, it should be noted that EVA and myself and Craig and Void always spent the night, like, when we were in high school, it was like, just about every Friday or Saturday night, we would get together, and we would terrorize, like, supermarkets and shit, because it's a boring town.
That's true.
That's a fact, yeah. But my favorite story is one night, whenever someone new would come to, like, it was always a party over at Boyd's house. His mom was always out, so we had this whole house. You do not give a group of teenage boys a house every weekend, but she did. So as a result, whenever someone new would come over, we would subject them to horrors. And we had a guy who fell asleep, and we tried just, you know, simple shit. Like, we wrote him with a permanent marker.
Jerry.
Easy.
Jerry, right?
Yeah, Jerry just wrote him a permanent marker, no big deal.
That wasn't his first night staying there, though.
No, I know, but this is what started it all. We wrote on him, he didn't move.
You wrote, tell him what you wrote.
We wrote fat on his forehead, we wrote little dick on his chest with a big, huge arrow pointing at his crotch. Didn't even flinch. I know, I wasn't trying to be gentle. I was like, I colored in a fucking 13-inch arrow that was like a good 4 inches wide. I colored it in. He has this big black fucking arrow. The next thing, the guy gets pretty well worked up. We put, you know, toothpaste and gel and all this baby powder, all this crap. And this other guy was staying, put this little, you know, little stick that has a propeller on the end that you do like this and it flies. He put that in his butt. He still didn't wake
up. Wait, let's get that back because I was moving this. You took a stick that...
No, I did not.
Well,
okay. Tony did. Took a little rubber band thing and stuck it in the butt crack of Jerry.
Not the hole.
It didn't, like, penetrate.
Okay.
But he had a propeller sticking out of his ass crack. As a result of this, EVA decided that he was never going to fall asleep in the same room as us again. Jerry was allergic to baby powder.
Yeah.
And it caused his hair to fluff out like a fucking afro.
I think he just didn't wash it all. I don't think he's allergic to it. I think he's trying to make us feel bad.
Well, he did inhale a lot.
There was toothpaste. There was toothpaste, all sorts of shit on his face, and his hair was like bone white after taking a shower. And you could still see, like, the word fat on his forehead. It was there. It was just barely visible. But that's not, to me, the punchline is the fact that he had a job interview that day.
Oh, man.
And a show that night. We played a show with that ghost white afro motherfucker that night.
I don't remember that, but okay.
It was at Damn Shannon's. Remember that? We were, like, looking over at him. No matter how much he sweat, his hair was just...
So, yeah. See, and that one wasn't as dirty as the other ones.
Dude,
I didn't hear most of the thing.
That happened to me once with Tabasco. They told me not to fall asleep. My ass fell asleep right before we were going skateboarding the next day.
I remember.
It burned.
I remember going to your house. It was raining, and you were standing in the rain with something plugged in, crying out how you wanted God to electrocute you.
Damn, that was my blackout day with Jack Daniels.
And at the same time, that was the same party that you threw beer on me and your girlfriend. And we were the only two people, and I'm still trying to figure out what that means.
Well, it means one thing. I don't got her as my girlfriend anymore. I know that much.
Because you threw beer on her?
No, I think she's still mad at me, man. I did some bad shit that night, man, because I blacked out. I blacked out.
I remember people were, like, pissed off at you.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Like, come out of the rain!
I guess I didn't hear that one.
Yeah. If I could relive one day of my life, I wish it was that. So that I can remember what the fuck I did and never do that again.
I'll never forget you. Like, you were, like, adamant about being electrocuted.
Yeah.
And you know why? It's because no one would cut your hair.
Damn, man.
You had a pair of electric...
I would have done
electric that. Clippers, and they were plugged in. You're standing in the... And I don't just... This was Georgia rain, you know.
Yeah,
where, like, the raindrops, like, the size of dinner plates.
Right, right.
And it's coming down in, like, sheets. Like,
I'm an idiot.
Like, you know, like someone... Like God has a big waterbed. They just punched a hole in it, and the whole thing was just BAM! That's how rain is in Georgia sometimes. And that was the type of rain you were standing in. And,
I'm an idiot, man. What can I say?
Yeah.
Well,
I deserve to get shocked. I deserve to get shocked if that was the case.
For the record, he didn't get electrocuted.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
So.
Zombie, pirate, ninja, robot, monkey news. Film at 11.
I thought we would watch an episode of Ask a Ninja. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Keep talking to me about it.
Well, then now's a good time to finally experience it.
Let's bring a real ninja in here. Okay, have a seat. That's amazing. I didn't even see him walk in.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Now he's on the wall.
Oh, wow. Hey, come down from the ceiling. Yeah.
But this is, I chose this one specially for the podcast because the question for the ninja in this episode was, what is podcasting? So, you know, okay. Works for it.
What I am ninja, he's ninja, she is ninja too.
Ask a Ninja, special delivery. What is podcasting? People over the age of 12 have asked a ninja, what is podcasting? Right now, you've got stuff out there like TV, which is like a piece of wood. It's not even, it's as interesting as watching grass grow. It's as interesting as watching wood be wood. Podcasting is active. Brass tacks. On one end, you got the kid. Let's call him Jason. And he's bored. And he's sitting there going, what's cool, dude? Yes, because that's the way kids talk right now. Jason is a whale, and he's swimming around the internet, and he's in a whole pod
of whales. That's where the term comes from. And they're looking to eat stuff. And the content on the internet is the brine. And it's just like, okay, there's another shrimp. And there's another stupid one video. And there's a guy yelling at a brick wall. That's interesting. And then, oh, look, there's Eva Longoria juggling a chainsaw. And, but then he comes across us, a podcast. Every week, consistent content coming at him like, kia, kia, kia. And then if I kept doing that, you'd see it's on a regular basis. I go, kia. But it's consistently coming at him like an apple pie. And if you're a whale and all you've ever eaten is shrimp and then somebody gives you an apple pie, you're like, holy smokes, this is delicious. And then when you find out that there's a factory that produces apple pies every week, then those whales just line up outside the factory and then we feed them apple pie. That's the simplest way to explain it. We are a factory that produces apple pies for whales. I look forward to feeding you apple pie soon!
He's an idiot.
Well, that doesn't sound threatening at all,
does it? Oh,
I have suspicions that guy's not really a ninja.
No, I don't know.
He's gonna kill you.
He might.
For saying that.
Okay, well, I'm gonna be sure to email him that and tell him.
Well, it's askaninja@gmail.com if you really want to ask him a question.
I'll send him a...
Tell him I said.
Did y'all just hear that ninja
he
leave?
Is not a ninja.
Did you hear that?
I didn't see him, but I heard it.
Tell him I said that he is not a ninja. And if my name's not Dave 420.
Yeah.
So that was ninja, pirate, monkey, robot.
No, robot. Zombie ninja news.
Well, I thought it was awesome.
Ninja was so good we said it twice.
Yeah. So that was Ask a Ninja.
Ask a
Ninja. Did you like it?
I thought it was awesome.
You like it?
I don't know if EPA liked it.
He laughed.
Well. Okay. Actually, there are two related stories here. I have a thought, and I'm curious what you guys have to say. Bush has made an ultimatum that Iran should halt its uranium production. And that's not really news, because it's like every day he's like, hey, guys, stop the uranium. Hey, over there, uranium.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop it.
And at the exact same time, we have this story that Condoleezza Rice, I'm assuming it's Condoleezza Rice and not one of the Rice Krispies guys, but it says Rice warns North Korea against missile test. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice warned North Korea on Monday it will face consequences if a test fires a missile thought to be powerful enough to reach the west coast of the United States. Which is a pretty stupid sentence, because I would think if we didn't do anything, they would still face consequences of the test. Doesn't everything that you do, even, like, not doing something, have consequences?
Yeah.
Well, here's my take, and I want you guys can weigh in on this. Basically, I'm always bothered by this whole idea, and this is the problem I have with the whole WMD thing, too. Never mind the source, never mind what it is. I think it's extremely arrogant, and I think almost even a little racially motivated, like racist motivated, that we have this idea that we are the only country that should be allowed to have these types of weapons. And I would like to point out that we are the only country in the history of mankind that has, for instance, nuclear weapons, who has actually used them in wartime. Now, regardless of how you feel about that, regardless of whether you think the Hiroshima and Nagasaki thing was right, it still happened. And that kind of establishes a precedent. I think that's an interesting thing, because we're so pompous that we believe that we should have them and nobody else, practically, you know. I mean, we allow our allies to have them, but that's only because we let them. Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, I agree.
And so, you know,
I was listening to Rush Limbaugh yesterday, and he was saying kind of the same kind of thing.
But he felt it was a good thing, I assume.
Well, he was saying that, like, if Iran gets nuclear weapons, it's pretty obvious they're going to use them, which is very pretentious of him to think that he could get into the minds of these people and think they're going to think completely different than, you know, a rational human being would.
Let's extrapolate upon that. I mean, it's not like they don't have, guns.
Well, I mean, the whole...
No, I'm just saying, I mean, they have firearms, conventional warfare weaponry, and they aren't using that just because they have it.
Honestly, I think the deal is North Korea doesn't like us. Iran doesn't like us. So you know damn well, when they get a weapon, they're going to use it because they don't like us.
Well, at the same time, though, they don't like us because they're afraid of us. And
the reason they're afraid of us is...
Since they're afraid of us, they want to protect themselves from us. I mean,
okay.
In the case of Iran, all they got to do is look at their neighbors to see, you know,
what's been
Afghanistan,
going on.
Okay. Okay, they took over Afghanistan. Iraq. Oh, they took over Iraq, too. You know, we're caught in the middle here. You know, what's one way to protect ourselves? Develop nuclear weapons. Because America's never attacked a country that has nuclear weapons. You know, once they get into that club...
I don't like nuclear weapons at all.
I don't like them either, but... Nobody. I don't think they're going to use them if they develop them. Unless, you know, we attack them.
Yeah.
I don't think we should police the whole world, but I also don't think it's right to even let them get to a point where they could do something.
Why?
Because they could do something.
But they would be stupid to do it. They don't want them to develop nuclear weapons because they want to take them over. They want to invade Iran.
Yeah, and I think they're going to invade Iran whether they do or not.
Whether they have nuclear weapons?
Yeah, I do too.
No, I think do. If they finally do produce a few nukes, I think we're definitely going to think twice about invading.
No, I think you just go ahead and produce one of those nukes. That's a legitimate excuse to attack Iran. And that's probably
horrible,
what's going
to
happen.
That's a horrible excuse to attack them because then they're going to use it.
That's the reason why they did Iraq the way they did.
Here's the thing. Why don't they invade us then?
They can't get over here.
Sorry.
What I'm saying is they can't get over here with the same amount of force that we can to get over there.
I think September 11th showed anything. It was that we are very vulnerable.
It was our planes. They weren't here.
Yeah, but it wasn't our pilots flying them into the World Trade Center.
Right, but it was weapons that we already had. It's, if you want to say the plane was a weapon, it was a weapon of mass destruction.
It was used as a weapon.
Yeah. Used against us, but it was our weapons.
It wasn't like an invasion. It was like psychological warfare.
Who's saying anything about an invasion, though?
This
is the problem with the whole Middle East situation, and with most of the situations that we're in, including South America, and certainly the Asian conglomerate of countries like Vietnam and North Korea, is a lot of those countries realize they couldn't possibly defeat us in a military fight. They don't even hold any hopes of winning if we invade them on their own home turf anymore. I mean, we still have somewhat Vietnam-like casualties with Iraq, and we had, you know, I say somewhat because they weren't on the same scale, because the invasion wasn't on the same scale, I think, is a big part of it. But at the same time, I don't think any of those countries harbor any hope of defeating us with that way. So, as a result, the natural progression is terrorist attacks. It's the one thing that they realize they can do that will have an effect on us. And now, the door's been opened, and that's why this whole thing scares me so much. Because any invasion we do, I think, is going to guarantee another September 11th on a smaller scale or a bigger scale. I can't really predict. I'm not a Miss Cleo or anything.
Right.
Part of the reason that these countries hate us so much is because of that smug, semi-racist idea that, you know, we should have all the guns and you guys don't.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well.
That's that.
Let's play another song.
Okay.
This is a song that I've been listening to a lot lately. It's Dan Warren.
Mm.
I would love to tell you the website address, but it's... We'll have to link it up because it's just... It's like mofolototopo or something like that .com. We're going to play a song called Horror, which I know that sounds... I know you're right away, you're thinking, your mind's going somewhere
else.
Is it
one of the songs I like?
You haven't heard it.
And
I think you'll really dig this. It's really catchy.
Yeah.
And it's got a really good message to it.
Yeah.
And then when I say... I mean, I know you're thinking with a song like Horror can't possibly have a good message, but no, trust me, I really think you'll dig this. So this is Dan Warren. The song is called Horror. Check it out.
Pictures of bottles of soy sauce all day. He dimly remembers there was a time before he lost his way. There aren't a lot of choices when you have so many bills to pay, but now the little voices that used to bring him great ideas just say, whore, whore, look what you sold your life for. Three times the money, yes, but you still manage to feel poor. Whore, whore, look what you sold your life for. For everything that it costs you, you would think they'd have paid you more. The sad fact of the matter is that you can't sell your soul for very much these days. That market's flooded with idiots who are giving it away. And you can always get something, yes, but the money is never enough to pay for the trouble that you have sleeping over the sound of your own conscience saying, whore, whore, look what you sold your life for. three times the money. Yes, but you still manage to feel poor, poor, poor. Look what you sold your life for. For everything that it cost you, you'd think they'd have paid you more. Never tell you as a child that there are so few spots for marine biologists, rock stars, firemen, and astronauts. And life's full of choices, yes, but the choice that is most often made is to try and fail, or fail to try, but still get paid to sit there counting down the hours, till you're counting down the days, until you're counting down the years, till you retire. Get that golden watch, you wish its hands could turn back time. Go back and set this godforsaken meat grinder on fire. They made you all what they bought your life for. Three times the money, yes, but you still manage to feel poor. Poor, poor. Look what you sold your life for. For everything that it cost you, you would think they'd have paid you.
No.
So y'all were all like skeptical, like, nah, this can't be real.
Every time I hear the word whore, I get skeptical, but that one was good. I like that.
What'd you think, man?
It was okay.
I think
it was good.
I thought that was good.
He took his time writing that. That's really good.
I think, actually, I mean, the way he put the words together, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to be a marine biologist for real.
I wanted to be an astronaut.
No, I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Well, that's why you smoke pot.
You're almost there.
Huh?
That's why you smoke pot.
Yeah. Well, most astronauts smoke pot, so... Carl Sagan was a pothead.
Right.
He was an astronaut, but...
And he also founded Scientology. That's a long story, don't ask.
Okay.
So, why don't we, you know, while we're talking about stuff like that, why don't we go ahead and do the trivia?
Okay. Question number one. The logo for Macy's department store has always included a five-pointed red star. True or false? The red star was integrated into the logo because Mr. Macy, the founder... was a communist and follower of Lenin.
False.
That's false.
Yeah. Do you know the true story?
No, I don't know the true story, but the reason I know that is because I read that as part of the lore. Interestingly enough, the urban legend stuff about the Arm and Hammer.
Mm. Yeah, false. The Red Star was integrated into the logo long before the establishment of communism, because Macy's was established in the 1850s. And it comes from a tattoo that Mr. Macy has on his hand. And the Red Star on somebody's hand is a sailor tattoo that means you've been around the world.
Huh.
And communism adopted the Red Star because of the tattoo also, because their concept of the philosophy was that it was a worldwide philosophy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
I think it's good. I just
every time you go to the mall now, you've got to think of that, because you can see the Red Star. And
I know them bitches fucked up my credit back in 1993 when I got a Macy's card. I know that.
Damn commie red bastards.
They're communists.
Yeah, so I should have said
trying to pollute our precious bodily fluids.
Okay, next.
All right, okay. Question number two. Since February of this year, Augusta native Ben Bernanke has served as the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, replacing the venerable Alan Greenspan. Bernanke has excelled in almost every endeavor he's undertaken, even from an early age. He graduated summa cum laude from Harvard University in 1975 and is a tenured professor at Princeton.
So true, yes, he is not Superman.
True or false? Bernanke scored a perfect score of 1600 on his SAT.
He said he did everything, so I'll say true.
I'm going to say false just because I have a feeling it's a setup. So.
Yeah. False. He scored a measly 1590.
Oh, that bastard.
So close.
What's the matter, Bernanke? Couldn't score the full 1600? You fucking moron.
You're a whore.
You are an idiot.
So you're one up, man. Congratulations.
Hey, congrats, man.
For once.
Ooh, I'm Bernanke. I'm the Department of Treasury Alan Greenspan, you know.
Replacement.
Zombie eating monster.
Jump on.
I'm from Augusta. What?
Anyway, question number three. London is a city of monuments.
True.
Several statues and memorials and other sorts of monuments litter the ancient winding streets of the city, but only one monument carries the simple moniker, The Monument. A 202-foot-tall Roman column towering over the spot the Great Fire of London started and eventually consumed four-fifths of the city. True or false, the fire occurred in the year 1666.
False.
It's fire, though. It's fire. I'm saying true.
True. It did happen in the year 1666. Anyway, so you guys tied, so you have to... Now you
break
have to
that tie?
Oil up and
well,
fight to death.
Now we have to fight. Yeah. You want battle?
No.
Do you want a tiebreaker question?
Sure. If you okay. Just pull it out your ass.
Okay, what is the capital...
That's not a true or false question.
Okay. True or false, the capital of North Dakota.
It'll I think it's Pierre, so...
It is. Pierre.
How about that?
It's pronounced Pierre, though. One syllable.
How about fuck that?
Oh, no, it is Bismarck. I'm sorry. You win.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Now.
I think Pierre's the capital of South Dakota.
Hey, check this out.
Are you serious? Yeah. He won?
Yeah.
Guess what? I won! Yay! Yeah! See?
All right.
Yeah, that was trivial trivia.
I got confused.
So now basically you lost every single podcast.
I knew the whole time. I just wanted to.
You did? Okay.
I'm just kidding.
So anyway,
movie reviews for movies we've never seen.
Tyler Perry's Madea's Family Reunion. Man, this Tyler Perry sure loved to dress up like an old lady. He's back as Madea. The tough old sage in a pickle when a series of crises arise on the same weekend that she/he scheduled a family reunion.
You know, right off the bat, and this isn't the fault of the movie makers, but I hate the phrase "in a pickle." So right off the bat, I don't like pickles, so I like it.
I think it's a great phrase. I think it's a great phrase because if you're in a pickle and pickles suck, yeah, it makes sense because nobody likes pickles.
Everybody likes pickles except you.
Are you kidding?
Do you have pickles?
I eat my Whopper with extra mayonnaise, extra pickles.
I love pickles.
Love
you should just get
You know, it's amazing because if you go to the grocery store, there's like this entire like section just devoted to pickles.
Both sides of the aisle.
And apparently they have to restock it.
All the time.
I don't know why. I guess because since people don't buy them, you know, they've got them there to like impress you with their pickle collection or something. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's not like they're selling them or anything.
So I'm not very impressed with like the whole dressing up as an old lady shtick.
That's the most original idea anyone's ever come up with.
It's close.
Unless you ignore, you know, like
Big Mama's House 2.
Tootsie.
That was an old woman though.
Okay, well, how about Robin Williams doing Miss Doubtfire?
Yeah.
But I mean, that whole "I'm a man dressed up as a woman" type thing to fool people type shit. Oh, wait a minute, is that the premise of the movie?
Well, I think.
Or is it kind of? It's never really.
I think he's playing a character that's an old woman.
Yeah.
I don't think he's dressing up.
He got famous for that character.
Well, that's at least a slight twist on the.
Ain't no damn twist.
Yeah, but it's not a good twist.
It's tired. You got that part right.
Kind of creepy.
It's about.
That is kind of creepy.
Your whole shtick is dressing up as an old woman.
I wouldn't.
And there's plenty of guys who dress up as like young women. That's an established form of entertainment. I'm gonna give it 4 stars.
Out of what?
10.
God, like dang, you're giving it too much credit.
Seriously, you think that's...
I'm telling you, if you... Okay. Well, I'm going to say that movie don't deserve nothing but a 1, and I didn't see the movie.
I would probably give it about 2.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's probably like the same joke. It's kind of like that Larry the Cable Guy movie. It's probably the same joke extended for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there are people out there, the same joke... For an hour and a half, makes them happy. Probably give them a little shiny object they'd be happy to.
Putting the guy's name in the title is pretty pretentious. I mean, if it was like Stanley Kubrick's Madea's Family Reunion. Okay, yeah, Stanley Kubrick, you're allowed to. How about Hoodwinked? The story of Little Red Riding Hood as retold by the Edwards brothers in an attempt to make the story as Shrek-like as possible. So
yeah, that's my feeling about it.
I bet it's pretty good. You know, the thing with animated movies, they tend to be a little bit better than, you know, most movies. Only because
there have been some shitty, shitty animated movies, dude. Let's be honest.
Well, okay, so Hoodwinked, I'm gonna give it 6 stars.
I'm gonna give it 5. I think it's like right smack dab in the middle, literally.
I'm gonna give it 4.
Okay.
6 by 4.
How about Mission Impossible 3? Wow. Director J.J. Abrams, who did Alias. I never saw Alias.
It's a TV show.
I've heard of it, but. This guy is called in to deal the third and perhaps final chapter in Ethan Hunt's Tom Cruise's saga. And in it, a retired Hunt is called back into action when sadistic madman Owen Davian, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, sets his sight on doing away with the government's super agent.
The real Mission Impossible here is to convert everyone to Scientology.
Could be it. Yeah. Subliminal messages going through the screen.
You know, yeah. I'm waiting for, you know, he and John Travolta haven't made a movie yet. I'm really surprised.
Yeah.
Beck was the soundtrack, no doubt.
I'm dubious of the claim that Beck is an acting Scientologist.
Didn't I hear that from you?
Wasn't he choking on splinters?
He was born a Scientologist, but who would stick around?
I mean. Yeah, but one thing you gotta say about Scientology, it is the religion of the rich.
Yeah, I know.
You never bump into someone, like, you know, in real life.
Maybe crazy way.
They're like, yeah, I'm a Scientologist. I have a feeling that that's, like, one of the principles of the religion is that you have to have millions of dollars to dump into it.
It's not millions. I think it's, like, $300,000.
Well, that's great.
I was exaggerating, but thanks for being editorial.
I'm almost there, then. Sign my ass up.
It's like you have to the audits, I think.
Yeah.
You have to do the audits. And they determine how many thetans are in your body or something
isn't
like that.
That the plot
it costs like thousands of dollars.
Isn't that the plot of the new
Star Wars
movie?
It's midichlorians. Good one. Damn that Star Wars, man.
So no, Mission Impossible. You know, I thought the first one sucked. The second one, yeah. The second one was even worse. So I don't have high hopes. Though I do have to admit, seeing Tom Cruise thrown against that car was pretty cool.
I thought it looked kind of fake, but
still,
you just like seeing him getting thrown around.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't see enough abuse happen to him.
Both of the Mission Impossible movies were probably above par for most action movies. Plus, I like any kind of spy movies, anything where you infiltrate the CIA headquarters.
Yeah.
Get some extra stars from me.
Well, it is pretty cool the way at the end of the movie they destroy the Golden Gate Bridge.
That's cool.
You think about it, most of the characters he plays are assholes.
Yeah,
have you noticed
that? Of course.
I can't think of it. I mean, sure there is one, but I can't think of a movie where he doesn't play an asshole.
Well, sometimes he's just kind of plain. Like, in Mission Impossible, he wasn't really an asshole. He was just kind of...
That's true.
A secret agent guy.
Mission Impossible.
But it's
kind of a flat
character.
Artificial intelligence.
Oh, Minority Report.
Minority Report. Yeah, he wasn't really an asshole in that. But his more memorable roles have been, Jerry Maguire.
Magnolia.
Magnolia. And how about Rain Man?
Yeah.
Asshole in every single one of those films. And he's an asshole in War of the Worlds. He's an asshole to his kids, remember?
I really liked him in War of the Worlds.
I thought he was okay. And in Collateral, which, like I said, is one of my favorite movies, probably my favorite movie with Tom Cruise in it, and he's an asshole.
I thought his portrayal in War of the Worlds as a parent was very realistic.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, there are a lot of parents out there that aren't great parents, he was not a very good parent. But at the same time, though, I thought it was really brilliant because...
Well, part of the movie is him, realigning himself with his children. Like, that whole... incident is a reason for him to rethink, and start spending more time with his kids.
So basically what I was trying to say was...
It would have been better if the other kid died.
I was just going to say...
Which movie were we talking about?
That I'm not basing it on his religious beliefs or anything...
It's just an action movie, I'm going to give it 7 stars.
I'm going to say, because of his acting, I'm going to give it a 9.
9?
Like a 9, like... Pow!
Yeah.
Like... Yo, what's up? I got my nine.
I think he's a really good actor, regardless of his personal life.
I think he's better than most actors, that's for sure.
To do the movie,
I don't think he's a bad actor. I just, you know...
Oh, you know another movie he didn't play an asshole in?
Why? Wait, why don't you like him?
I don't know. Sure. I guess it's because most movies I remember him in, he plays an asshole, and he's an unlikable character in those movies. And he, of course, always so has the heart-changing,
but,
you know...
Well, do you like watching his movies, though? For the most part,
he's done some movies that are really good. So it's tough because of that.
Yeah, you should watch Eyes Wide Shut though, because I think there's like a third character in him that he's playing in that. Because it's not really an asshole. It's almost like this guy that tries to be an asshole, but doesn't quite succeed. It's hard to explain. It's a brilliant movie. It might be my favorite Kubrick movie, contrary to everybody's opinions out there.
Let's go ahead and play another song. We're going to play Trainspotting.
Okay, okay. This one was actually produced by DJ Richie Rich.
One rhyme, it takes one time to get it through your mind. Press rewind, and then it's best you find a happy medium. You're reading them, they in between the lines. Am I speeding them? Too fast for you to comprehend. Too fast for you to understand, give in. Nobody makes a living no more playing pretend. There's talent walking through the door, give it a listen. But don't bite the hand that feeds, pay it attention. This is for the ones in need but can't listen. Still got the need for speed and not greed. Indeed, I think it's time we gave Rich permission. Scratching and mixing, it's turntablism. Thunderworks claim to fame, it ain't mentioned. We all know the name of the game. Spot the train, DJ Rich, would you please play your position? Look at that, look at that.
So, I know what that song is about.
I remember that song.
That song is about DJ Richie Rich.
No, the song's about... Yeah, it's about DJ Richie Rich, but it's Trainspotters. It's a DJ term. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's set DJs to play in clubs.
Mm-hmm.
They go to other DJ sets and see what they're spinning. It's called train spotting. You go up to the turntables and you see what they're spinning, and you try to mix it like that. Take it back to your club and do the same thing.
I've never actually heard that.
Yeah, I've read about it.
You see, I've heard there's a DJ term for how to combat that.
Yeah,
it's called cover
it up. Huh?
It's called traps.
How's
what
that?
What you do is first off, you try to get as many white labels as possible. You put in your crates records that you would never play.
Right, right.
And then people see that and they're like, oh, he's got that. Oh, I'll go play this. And they go play it. And it absolutely sucks. You include that song on your album?
I'd like to. It's a little older, but I mean, not a lot of people have heard it, so it's not like that. Method Man, when he brought out that Bring the Pain,
yeah.
7-year-old song before it came out, came on the radio. 7 years. Took him that long. I came to
that's
bring
still that's still a timeless song.
Heck yeah, and it still is.
I've never understood that one line by Stereo.
Huh? What?
The reggae guy.
Oh, by Stereo.
No.
The chorus was
the reggae guy comes in. The first time the reggae guy comes in.
Yeah, I can't remember it right now. Hold on.
You know why I can't tell you? Which leads
because it'll be a gotcha. I know.
Which leads us to the thing I want to talk about.
Good, because I'm going to figure this one out. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Gotcha.
Gotcha is a game. He's the one who gave the name Gotcha. And we didn't sit down one day and develop rules, but we never really, like, sat or come up with a game. It just kind of evolved over time.
It evolved over time. That's right.
Dave and I used to work together. We worked together on and off for, like, close to 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And we both listened to... But I would say about 75% of the music that I listen to is the same kind of music he listens to. And then there's that 25% that he can't stand, and there's the 25% that I can't stand. And it's that way. With us, we either both like it or we both hate it. There is right. no middle ground.
There is no
median. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's stuff you listen to, speaking of Sir Milton Pearson in this case, there's stuff that you listen to that I'm like, eh, that's okay. I don't really hate it. I don't really like it. And then there's stuff I really like, and then there's stuff that, you know, I don't like. I really hate.
So there's a lot of middle ground with me.
There's a lot of middle ground.
There's with none with me.
With
like,
him?
Watch.
And I'm the same way with him. I'm sure.
Beastie Boys. I don't like Beastie Boys.
And I love the Beastie Boys. Huh. So, you know.
You know, it's a perfect example.
There's so much.
At the same time, this motherfucker listens to Iron Maiden.
I listen to everything.
And I'm like, the gotcha game basically evolved with this, okay? We were talking about with Carrie.
Okay.
Our boss. Our absolutely love her to death, but she was crazy.
Right, right.
But we were talking about how if you sang a song, she would sing it. Didn't
right.
matter. I mean, if she knew the song, even if she didn't know the song a lot of times, she was just like, she would start singing it. She couldn't control it.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it'd be interesting because I've noticed this about people. If it's a song that they know, and you can demonstrate this best, I think, with the theme from Mr. Ed. I think is the universal...
Okay,
either that,
try
or, either that or the Beverly Hillbillies or the TV show themes, like classic TV show themes, or supposedly classic TV show themes. The ones that everyone knows the words to, like the Brady Bunch, another good one, or the Gilligan's Isle. You start singing one of those songs, and people will be overwhelmed, even if they
like
hate
this.
The song. But the way the game works, basically, is we came up with this idea that if you sing something and get the other person to sing it, you get... A point, essentially.
A point.
And we had to come up with this labyrinth, like, textbook bunch of rules. And I got to tell you, Dave is one of the closest friends I have.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a very small core of very close friends. And I think, over the years, this is
perfect.
Just about the only thing that you and I have ever fought about. Like,
yeah.
like ever gotten pissed off at each other about.
Yeah, well, and that's good because it's music. You know what I mean? That's what makes it what it is. It's because it's music.
We can disagree, but we always like talk it out.
Yeah, I know, and I love that part because it always keeps me in check. You know what I mean? And there is a lot of times where I will sing randomly some crazy shit just to get you.
There were times I would do that to you too. I would sit there and be like,
yeah.
I would pick out, like, I go, you know what? I know this is gonna get him. And sometimes, like, I would start developing little strategies. I don't know if you ever did this to me. I'd develop these little strategies.
Oh.
I'd be like, I would say, I would sing a song, and then I would say certain phrases that were kind of associated with it.
And it would, I'd
kind
have
of plant
to finish
it in your head,
yeah.
you know?
Because you make it to where I have to finish
yeah.
the
you know,
damn
you
line.
Kind of, you just kind of fuck with the other, which we never got mad about that, as far as I could tell. But, you know, we that was always kind of fun. Like, that became, like, because I gotta admit, after a while, we got to the point where we really weren't getting each other. We would go, like, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then what would happen, this always happened, is there'd be that one day
mm-hmm.
where one of us would get the other person, like, five times. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
A good example of that is right now is that damn Method Man song. I know it now. But if I sing it to you, you got me.
No, you sing it. I haven't sung it.
When I was a little stereo,
yeah.
I listened to some Choppy Young. I always wonder when I'll be the number one. That's what it is.
I don't understand what that means.
Me neither.
You know, stereo.
When I was a little stereo.
That doesn't count. We were
almost
talking
now.
About we were talking about the song in a you know.
That doesn't count.
Basically, we try to finish. You don't want to finish each other's lyric because if you do.
But the rules get really, ridiculous. But we had to develop all these rules because of things you don't think about. Right. If you're planning on playing this game, and it is actually if you have someone you work with. In a very close office environment,
or a cubicle,
and you play music all day, or you have you're in an environment where you can do this type of stuff, which a lot of people are in jobs like this. It is actually a fun game to play. We kept actual score for 4 years
on a marker board.
Who won?
On a marker board.
I was like 2 points ahead.
Matter of fact, you guys probably still have some marks down there on your chalkboard.
And I'm 2 points ahead again. But usually we were almost always neck and neck. One of us might be 1 point ahead.
But it kept you on point.
Some of the rules that are important if you plan on playing this at home, just real quick, is basically samples and covers count. So for instance, if you're singing Atomic Dog. Gotcha.
And he got me. See, we're talking about the thing, so it don't count. Let's just say that. That's the rule we're going to make up right
when
now.
A little stereo.
Well, yeah.
You
just give an example.
I just did that on purpose.
And I did mine on purpose.
Yeah, right.
I did do it.
Yeah, right.
I know Atomic Dog. I know what comes after
this
Atomic
is,
Dog.
Doesn't mean you had to sing it.
I wanted to get the point across to the listeners.
Right. I needed the backup singing.
See, that's fucked
this
up.
This is how our conversations go with this game, too.
That's fucked up.
But anyway, no, if you do Atomic Dog, and then the other person busts out with Snoop Dogg and Dog, sorry, that counts.
Yeah, because it is from the same...
That's rhyme. A sample that is, a very obvious sample.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's a recording of something doesn't mean it counts. It has to be actual music.
Right, right.
Even if it's a cappella or as long as there's singing and musical elements involved,
mm-hmm.
just reading poetry or something like that or stand-up comedy doesn't count.
Whoever.
Although there is very catchy quality to some stand-up comedy and stuff like
but
that.
But the good thing about it is if you do get got,
yeah.
you get to sing the song
yeah.
as long as you want.
Now, if you just played the song, it
yeah,
doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
We developed a rule. It was like an hour. After
yeah,
an hour,
it was an hour.
And the thing is, it was funny and you could tell.
Yeah.
This would happen. One of us would play a song, right? And then we would, as soon as the song ended, we would look at the clock.
Yeah, to make sure.
And then write it down or something.
Yep.
And then an hour to the minute,
you
look over to the person and start singing it. And it's like,
nothing
yeah.
about it. Yeah.
And that's even worse because you've heard the song, it's fresh in your memory, and you want to sing it a lot more.
That's right.
And we both, I know I did it, I know you did
I know.
It. I know you did it because I remember, like, I there were times where I was doing it at the same time and you beat me to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know.
It's a fun game.
I
encourage that game for anybody.
And if you also get someone, like he said, you can sing it and you have permission to sing it for up to an hour, and then after an hour,
it's
fair
game
again.
That's right.
So you get that new catchy song. That's rough. Even if you don't sing it, just like repeating lyrics, or like if I say lyrics and you end up singing it or humming the music to
or
it.
Or finishing the line.
Yeah, finishing the line. It's got to be more than one word. I think we had that kind of as a rule, too. Like if you just said one word.
It don't count.
Yeah, it's if you go beyond one word, it's like the one word rule. Some of it's kind of hazy because we haven't been working
together
in a while.
Yeah, we can get into that forever, but that's the gist of the whole thing.
This day in history.
So today is June 21st?
Today's June 21st.
Happy solstice. Happy solstice.
Oh, I don't know what that means, but okay. Sorry about the knocking.
Yeah, so happy Merry Meat as...
That does not count.
As a neo-pagan would say, I think, because they're all into the solstice.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
So salsa.
We, non-pagans do mark it as the first day of summer.
That's good.
So anyway, I've got five good, juicy historical events that happened today.
Okay.
1940, France surrenders to Germany. Again.
I'm not even touching that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know.
Pretty interesting. It's before we entered into the war.
Mm-hmm. And they surrendered again.
1947. This is lesser known history. A seaman named Harold Dahl claims to have seen six UFOs near Maury Island, which is up in Puget Sound in Washington.
Why didn't I know that?
I don't know.
Did you know that, Dave?
The next morning, Dahl reported the first modern Men in Black encounter. So he was the first one to report one of the modern.
A Man in Black.
Yeah, he saw the UFOs, and then the Men in Black came and visited
and
the next day.
He didn't see anything.
Yeah, basically.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. We're some swamp gas. we are comprised of a weather balloon.
Yeah.
All we're Ignis Fatuus.
1982, John Hinckley is found not guilty by reason of insanity for the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. So
do you think like Jodie Foster was like outside?
I think she was a character witness.
Like waiting, like I'm so glad you got off. Now let's go get married. Do you think that's something that happened like overnight? Like he woke up one day, he's like, oh yeah, that's it. Or do you think it kind of like came together piece to piece? Like I've got to impress Jodie Foster. How could I do that? I could kill somebody. Who could I kill? Let's see. Now he wasn't present at the time. The funny thing is, at some point, Jodie Foster did try to kill Ronald Reagan. Most people don't know
that. But she won't admit it. It's a bad career move.
And I think recently he was up for parole, but...
got denied.
Yeah,
because he's cross-dressing.
Because of Yoko Ono, she came and pleaded. Okay, 1989, the U.S. Supreme Court rules in Texas versus Johnson that flag burning is protected speech under the United States Constitution.
What's wrong with you? If that matters that much to you. Those people don't realize that that is the reason why people are burning the flag. If you were a flag burner and you walked up to someone who's like, oh, no one should burn the flag, and you burn the flag in front of them, and they went, I don't give a shit, they would stop.
I'd light my cigarette with.
Not people like in Iran. They love burning flags.
If we pass a constitutional amendment, I'm sure all the people in Iran will like, oh my God, America passed a constitutional amendment. Well, we better,
What do you think they would think if we burned their flag?
I am sure
somewhere some computer graphics site for like Fox News has put together a graphic in anticipation of the Iran invasion,
which involves
like the Iran flag burning open to reveal
like Bonanza.
Bonanza style.
Yes, sir.
Invading Iran.
See, he was going to try to get me with that dun-dun-dun-dun. Damn it!
Does that count?
Yes, it does.
I don't know if it does.
Those have always counted.
I was rusty. I wasn't ready for the attack. I knew it all came together.
I think it's funny the way everybody went, I wasn't even trying, but sure, hey, why not?
I know.
Go for it.
I know, dude. I know.
Okay, let's wrap this up.
Anyway, yeah, the last one, most recent one, obviously, 2004, Spaceship One becomes the first privately funded space plane to achieve space flight. So, would you fly on the Spaceship One if given the chance?
If they gave me a coupon, hell yeah, I would. I'd go. I mean, shit.
I think they should do like some sort of golden ticket thing.
Yeah, me too. Willy Wonka, that bitch. I'd do it.
They've got a few different contests for that kind of thing.
Hell yeah.
I can't remember. I'm sure I've asked you, but I can't remember.
I've always wanted to be in anti-gravity.
Yeah.
Experience it.
Well, it's only like 5 minutes of anti-gravity. I think the next generation.
And now.
Yeah, I was going to say, the next generation of spaceships.
10 seconds.
No, it's, well, the next prize, because this, the whole thing that got this industry going was a prize, a $10 million prize that went to the first person to do this.
Okay.
Which I'm sure they probably spent more than $10 million toys.
Granted, yeah. But it is still a good incentive to, get back a little bit of money. The next contest is to get a spaceship in orbit. And once you're in orbit, you got to spend 90 minutes in orbit to go around the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to land back where you started. So you're going to be in space for 90 minutes at least.
That is awesome.
And theoretically, you could do it for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if you do two or three orbits, you're not going to be over the place where you took off. You got to wait a whole day for the Earth to spin back around and be back where it is. So theoretically, the next generation spaceship, you could spend a day in orbit. So
yeah.
That's
awesome.
that's what I'm waiting for. I'm gonna hold on to my $250,000 until
you should.
Until
you
that
should.
Spaceship is.
Okay. It's either that or buying that theme park.
Cool.
You know, Six Flags has that you know spaceship, you know, that goes upside down.
I mean, so.
So yeah, there we go. And that was the day in history. So we remember you can check us out. Podcast.shapelessmass.com. I'm going to play the little email thingy again.
Hi, kids. Please remember to send all emails to SirMildredPierce@gmail.com and EBAOFVN@gmail.com. Thanks.
Basically, any shout outs before you get out of here?
Shout out shapelessmass.com and,
thanks.
Yeah, because, you
we'll
know.
We'll let him know.
We'll let him know.
I hope he listens to this.
He's awesome. No, I just want to say, you know, shoot, everybody in Augusta, Georgia is listening, you know, if they ever listen, you know.
Big shout out to everybody listening.
I'll say happy birthday to Jessica, even though I only get to play one song.
So happy birthday, Jessica.
I want to shout out my brother-in-law.
Hey, Dewan.
Yeah, I always listen it up in D.C.
He
heard one already. But it's been fun,
so,
you guys.
I can't really think of anybody, so, you know, I don't know. Sorry, everybody, I didn't think of.
Sorry, everybody.
Dave,
yeah,
no having you like always.
Yeah, it's been fun, man.
Can I come back for another one?
It's all good. Jodie Foster's Army, man. We're taking it back to the streets.
Oh, well, real quick, let me check, see if it's been changed back yet.
Get your fate, bitches.
Let's see.
Here comes some scratchy noises from yours truly, and enjoy. Everybody, see you next week.
Hello, boys and girls. Isn't this a wonderful party? It's the Romper Room Happy Birthday Party, and you're all invited.
Am I invited?
You certainly are.
Me too?
Of course you are. All little boys and girls are invited. And do you know who else is coming? Mr. Doobie. So put on a great big party smile and let's all sing our happy birthday song.
May your birthday be bright, full of cheer and delight. Happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Here's a happy birthday cake. Happy, happy birthday cake.
Mommy made it just for you.
Happy, happy birthday cake. Now you blow the candles. Blow the candles out. Now you blow the candles out. All your wishes will come true when you blow the candles out.
Now it's time to cut that cake. Happy, happy birthday.
At some point, Jodie Foster did try to kill Ronald Reagan.